One was a ball and Silas, one was a little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem.
Children, go where I send thee.
Oh, Lordy, how will I send thee? Oh, I'm gonna send thee 4 by 4. 4 was the 4 that stood at the door. 3 was the Hebrew children. 2 was Paul and Silas. 1 was little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem. Send thee 10 by 10. 10 was 10 commandments. 9 was the 9 that stood in the line. 8 was the 8 that waited at the gate. 7 was the 7 that didn't get to heaven. 6 was the 6 that didn't get fixed. 5 was the 5 that came back alive. 4 was the 4 that stood at the door. 3 was the Hebrew children. 2 was the Paul and Silas. 1 was the little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
That was awesome, man.
Text this morning, Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16. As we finish our series, Christmas Lights, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Christmas time. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here at the end of the Christmas season 2021. Lord, we've seen so many times in this series how you've talked to us about light. And I pray that this morning you would convince us how much we need to be that light. Be the light of Jesus Christ shining in the world. And I pray you'd teach us this morning how we need to do that. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word. Teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Every December, Aaron Kacharin from Saskatchewan, Canada, goes all out decorating for Christmas, caking his house with thousands and thousands of Christmas lights and displays. So many decorations, his next door neighbors, Chris and Mandy Buckler, have given up trying to compete with it. So this year they just put a lit up sign on the front of their house with an arrow pointing to Aaron Kacharin's house with the word ditto on it. So many other people putting out so much light, we think we can just let them shine for us. But the Bible tells us we need to shine with the light too. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Christmas called Christmas Lights, looking at all kinds of light that God gives us at Christmas time that helps us overcome the darkness. So far in this series, we've seen that in order to overcome the darkness, we need to realize that there is a light, and we need to see and know the light. And today we finish this series by seeing that in order to overcome the darkness, we also need to be the light. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 to 16. In this part of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in our text today, Jesus tells us that we need to shine His light in the darkness of our world. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, in order to shine His light in the darkness of the world, we need to be His light in the darkness of the world ourselves. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, tells us three things that we need to do to be the light of Jesus Christ in the world at Christmas time and beyond. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to be the light, we need to understand our identity. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verse 14. You are the light of the world. Not just Franklin Graham or Tim Tebow or Candace Owens or Sadie Robertson. You are the light of the world. And notice, not maybe, not could be, not can be, if you eat your Wheaties, if you wear a mask and social distance and get vaccinated and take 337 boosters. You already are the light of the world. And that's not just a vision of sugar plums. So even if you do still have your braces on, even if your parents still haven't gotten you a phone, even if you got sick or fat or fired or need to go on a diet to fit in a Santa suit, you are still the light of the world. Amen. And notice Jesus here is not talking to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along. He's only talking to Christians and followers of His. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says that He is the light of the world. So how can we be the light of the world if Jesus is the light of the world? Well, because John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the light of the world while I am in the world. But now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, He left us that job. And because if you're a Christian, you have the light of the life of Jesus Christ inside of you. John chapter 8, verse 12. And the day star shining in your heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we are light in the Lord. Notice, you don't just have light, you are light. Savvy? So Jesus Christ doesn't just light up the life of my wife Sue. I do too. Like a flash grenade. So Christians listening, you are not a deplorable like Hillary Clinton says you are. You are not a racist like Black Lives Matter says you are. You are not a domestic terrorist like the Attorney General says. You are not a murderer who wants to kill grandma like Joe Biden says. You are not who the world says you are. You are who Jesus Christ says you are. You are the light of the world. So there's not something wrong with you. There is something right with you. Now back in 2009, scientists in Japan discovered that the human body gives off light because of the chemical reaction with free radicals. But that light is 1,000 times fainter than what can be seen with the naked eye. But I'm not talking about physical light today that nobody can see. I'm talking about spiritual light that everybody can see. The light of Jesus Christ. Haley Baldwin, Justin Bieber's wife, is a supermodel and a born-again Christian in a very seedy industry that's filled with everything from eating disorders to sexual abuse, you name it. This is what Haley Baldwin said. As hard as it is to be a Christian in this business, I think the bigger purpose is for me to be a light in this place, to represent Jesus to other people. Christians, understand your identity. You are the light of the world. And we need to realize we are not here to shine for ourselves. We're here to shine for Jesus Christ. Because today, everything is about me. Look at me. Notice me. Pay attention to me. The Bible says in the last days, people will be lovers of selves. And that is exactly what we see. The number one picture today is the selfie. And today we've got 13-year-olds who are killing themselves because they don't get enough follows on Instagram. Everything is about me. Even Christmas. The most popular Christmas song in the last 50 years is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And of course she's not talking about Jesus. She's talking about herself wanting a boy toy. So even Christmas is about me. Folks, we got to realize, the light does not come from us. The moon is just a big ball of dust. And the only reason it shines is because when it's in the right place at the right time, it reflects the light of the sun. And Christians, we need to realize exactly the same thing is true with us. We do not generate that light ourselves. And the only reason we shine is because we are reflecting the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So Jesus is the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And we can't forget our enemy. Because that name Lucifer literally means light bearer. Satanists worship a devil god called Baphomet. So this year, in the Capitol Rotunda down in Springfield, the Satanic Temple set up a holiday display of a baby Baphomet, a baby devil wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Mocking, guess who, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. People, you talk about evil and deception in your face. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. The devil comes disguised as an angel of light. Christians, you've got to know your identity. You've got to know who you are in Christ. You are the light of the world, shining in a dark place. And Christians, we need to be the shining in a dark place when it comes to COVID. Because COVID is just making America darker and darker and darker. Last Tuesday, Joe Biden pushed even more panic porn by saying this: if you are unvaccinated, you face a winter of severe illness and death, and not only for you, but for your families and the hospitals that you were overwhelmed. Gee, Merry Christmas to you too. Folks, what the honchos did with COVID last year was an absolute apocalyptic disaster. Almost 1 million Americans dead. 100,000 more Americans dead from overdose and suicide. Jobs and businesses and education completely destroyed. And the scary thing is the powers that be are this close to doing exactly the same things all over again. And for heaven's sakes, why? Because here's the latest stats on COVID. Johns Hopkins University says 75% of all COVID cases in America now are from the Omicron variant. But Omicron is no more threatening than the common cold. People are 87% less likely to be hospitalized for Omicron than they are for COVID. And yet doctors are now even calling for the vaccination of unborn babies. The Wall Street Journal reports that almost 80% of COVID infections during the first 2 weeks of December in America were of fully vaccinated and boosted people. The COVID death rate for unvaccinated Americans is less than 4 in 100,000. The COVID death rate for vaccinated Americans is 2 in 100,000. But that somehow justifies the forced vaccination of 340 million Americans. New York City has had vaccine passports for months now, and yet they just recorded their highest COVID infection rate since the start of the pandemic, because you can't vaccinate or passport your way out of a virus. In the UK, 3 out of every 5 cases of COVID now, and 3 out of every 5 hospitalizations, and 4 out of every 5 COVID deaths are of fully vaccinated and boosted people. I could go on and on. Every one of those is absolute fact, and they will all get censored by YouTube. Propaganda. And folks, what's even worse, the church today is eating up the propaganda. Because churches all over America now are starting to segregate Christians based on their vaccination status. Piney Grove Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Today, if you want to go to that church, you've got to have a vaccine passport. You've got to call ahead for a reservation. You've got to wear a mask. You've got to social distance. And you have to sign a waiver just to get in the front door. And because children in America under the age of 5 can't be vaccinated yet, no children under the age of 5 are allowed in that church. People, this is insanity. I was sad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Christians, we've got to be that light shining in the darkness. Even when that darkness is in our personal lives too. Officer Richard Houston spent 21 years on the Mesquite Police Department in Rockwall, Texas. Born again Christian, loved the Lord, took his Bible with him in his patrol car every single shift. And during those 21 years, he got 48 different commendations for serving the public, for talking suspects into turning themselves in and talking people off the ledge from committing suicide. Great cop, great husband, great father, 3 kids, led every single one of them to the Lord, and Officer Richard Houston was fun. He did all kinds of things outside with his kids. He coached all their sports teams. He taught all their Sunday school classes. Next to Jesus Christ, that man was his kids' whole world. And especially daddy's girl, 18-year-old Shelby Houston. Well, last December the 1st, Shelby Houston got asked to preach a sermon for the very first time during a Wednesday night youth service at Lake Point Church. And because Officer Richard Houston, dad, couldn't be there because of work, he sent her a text message to reassure and to calm her nerves. And this is what he said: "Sometimes it feels very overwhelming, but I'm here to tell you everything will be okay. You got this. Remember that no matter what, me and your mom got your back, always and forever." That's the kind of dad that he was. But then 2 days later, Officer Richard Houston was called to respond to an argument between a married couple in the parking lot of an Albertsons grocery store, the kind of call he had handled 1,000 times before. But this time he walked up to the couple. The husband killed Officer Richard Houston by shooting him in the chest. Then the guy shot himself in the head. So if you don't know Officer Richard Houston, you should, because the man was a light for Jesus Christ. And his life was a testimony to hundreds of thousands of great police officers all over this country. Well, during the funeral, December the 9th, Shelby Houston, his daughter, was one of the speakers. And she talked about her dad's plaid pajamas and how he liked to read and how he made everything fun and how dedicated he really was to Jesus Christ. But then Shelby Houston said this.
I remember having conversations with my dad about him losing friends and officers in the line of duty. I have heard all the stories you can think of, but I've always had such a hard time with how the suspect is dealt with. Not that I didn't think there should be justice served, but my heart always aches for those who don't know Jesus. Their actions being a reflection of that. I was always told that I would feel differently if it happened to me, but as it's happened to my own father, I think I still feel the same. There has been anger, sadness, grief, and confusion, and part of me wishes I could despise the man who did this to my father, but I can't get any part of my heart to hate him. All that I can find is myself hoping and praying for this man to truly know Jesus. I thought this might change if the man continued to live, but when I heard the news that he was in stable condition, part of me was relieved. My prayer is that someday down the road, I'd get to spend some time with the man who shot my father. Not to scream at him, not to yell at him, not to scold him, simply to tell him about Jesus.
People, can you imagine? Even though that girl had lost the most important person to her in the whole wide world next to Jesus Christ, even though her heart was shattered in a million pieces, even though she was still crying her eyes out, that light was still shining because she wasn't just thinking about the soul of her father who had been killed. She was thinking about the soul of the man who had even killed him. Folks, I've been saved for 37 years. I still don't know if I have enough Jesus in me to have the same heart and mind that that girl did there. So Christians, listen to me. Even though your world comes to an end, even when everything gets dark, even when your heart is broken and you don't know why, you still know who. You still know who Jesus Christ is, and you still know your identity, who you are in Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. The first thing that we need to do in order to be the light, we need to understand our identity. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to be the light. We not only need to understand our identity, we also have to accept our responsibility. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verses 14 and 15. Because if you are a Christian, you are not here to do the what's in my mouth challenge. Or to binge watch Lost in Space. Or to try to be somebody who's right swipe worthy on Tinder. You are a light. You are responsible to shine. Period. Verse 14, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's why it was built on the hill. Verse 15, no idiot lights a lamp and then puts a basket over top of it to put it out. That would be denying its purpose. So Christians, we are not here to live out our own truth. We're not even here necessarily to make the world a better place. We are here to shine with the light of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Accept the responsibility. And Christians, let me ask you, and I'm asking me just as much as anybody else, if we really are accepting the responsibility, how become America morally and spiritually just gets blacker and blacker and blacker than the dark side of the moon every single day? I'll tell you why. The hyper-grace preachers won't tell you this, but I will. Because we don't get salvation. When we got saved, we gave our life to Jesus Christ and absolutely everything about that life. All our hopes and dreams and plans and desires, all our gifts and talents and abilities, our spare time, our love life, our social life, the whole kit and caboodle belongs to Him. Which means everything about our lives is a witness either for Him or against Him. Every single thing that we do either draws people to Jesus or drives people away from Jesus. Period. And if you don't like that, if you don't want that responsibility, Jesus says, there's the door. Don't let them hit you in the butt on the way out. You are not a disciple of mine. Luke 9:24, His word's not mine. Denzel Washington, Hollywood actor, is a born-again Christian. The man never cusses, ever. Never drinks a drop, ever. And he purposely does not live in the clown universe of Hollywood. That man's life is different. And you know why? Because when people look at his life and know there's a difference and ask why, he can tell them it's because of Jesus Christ. Do we see the light? Do we accept our responsibility? Because Christians, you know what our life looks like to unbelievers when we're not shining fully for Jesus Christ? It looks like that Christmas tree right there. Half lit because the lights, half the lights aren't on. Let me ask you, who in their right mind would want a Christmas tree that looks like that? And of course, the real question is, why would any unbeliever anywhere in the world want a Christianity that looks like that? They wouldn't. Are we accepting our responsibility and shining the light? See what happens when wives let their husbands decorate for Christmas? The deer with the guts spilling out, all shaped out in Christmas light. Does that say anything about Jesus? And the real meaning of Christmas? Is Kevin Garner shining the light? Because the biggest knock on Kevin Garner, believe me, there's a lot of them, he never smiles. I am so busy. I am always walking around looking like I'm so set. Because like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with rhinovirus. Christians, are we the light of the world? Or are we just dim bulbs? Are we shining? Pop singer Demi Lovato grew up claiming that she was a born-again Christian. But when she started her career, she totally turned her back on God, started partying her brains out, and got addicted. Till 2018, when she overdosed with this in her system. Alcohol, meth, cocaine, pot, heroin, fentanyl. I could go on with six other things. And the Lord miraculously brought that woman back to life. And she rededicated her life to Jesus Christ the very next year by traveling all the way to Israel and getting baptized in the Jordan River. And God let her restart her career by allowing her to sing the national anthem at Super Bowl 54 in 2020. But then just this last May the 19th, she threw the Lord and all of His tender mercies to her under the bus by saying and doing this. Over the last year and a half, I've been doing some healing and self-reflecting. And I've had the revelation that I really identify as non-binary. Growing up as a Christian, I always felt so suppressed. But now I am finding so much freedom in living my authentic truth. What's the deal? She trying to stay relevant and get a bigger market for her CDs? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Christians, what fellowship does light have with darkness? None. The best advertisement for Christianity is Christians. The worst advertisement for Christianity is Christians. Are we accepting responsibility and shining the light? Because people, when that light shines, it is something to behold. Last Sunday, December the 12th, President Donald Trump had the sermon time, First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. This is part of what he said. Our country needs a Savior right now. And our country has a Savior. And it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. His life and death and resurrection forever changed the world. It's impossible to think about the life of our country without Jesus' influence and His teaching. The United States has become a truly great nation. But this could have never happened without Jesus Christ. None of it. And we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the ultimate source of our strength and our hope. Let there be light, people! And in case you forgot, that's what an American president is supposed to sound like. Yes. Corey Schalker, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, is married with 8 kids of her own. But during her 21 years as a registered nurse, she came across all kinds of terminally ill babies who were abandoned at the hospital by their parents right after those babies were born. So 15 years ago, she and her family built a crash unit with life support machines in their house. And she started adopting terminally ill babies out of those hospitals. Babies that were born dying from brain damage, from lack of oxygen, brain deformities, lack of internal organs, spina bifida, spinal meningitis, deafness, blindness, seizure. I could go on and on. And even though none of those babies ever lived longer than 2 or 3 months, she takes care of them and feeds them and changes them and sucks the snot out of all the tubes and holds them and rocks them and hugs them and loves them. And every single Sunday, she and her family bundle up those little babies, tubes and wires and machines and all, and they take them to church so that those little souls can be in the presence of the Lord. And why does Corey Salkert do that? This is what she said. God gave me not only the skills, but also the heart to do this. And even though these little lives won't live very long, under all the tubes and wires is a child who is precious to God. And God's called me to just love them and let them know they are precious in spite of their illness and let them pass on to the Lord, knowing that someone here did love them and ministered to them. I'm just being a light to them as much as I can. Holy cow, people. You talk about shining the light. And even though a lot of people may not know what she does, those babies sure do. And so does the Lord. Christians, let's accept the responsibility and start shining the light wherever God's called us to do that. And Christians, we better accept the responsibility and shine the light, because the dark side today has no qualms about shining out at all. Forget about the COVID pandemic in America right now. What we've got is a crime pandemic. Thugs just running in and doing smash and grab robberies in high-end stores all over America. Look at the video.
Robberies are hitting other cities as well, including Beverly Hills, in suburban Chicago, where this Louis Vuitton store was hit in broad daylight. The cost of organized retail crime estimated by one trade organization at more than $68 billion.
Joe Perillo on the Mag Mile in Chicago 2 weeks ago. Two thugs walk in, smash display case, stole $7 million in luxury watches in a matter of seconds in broad daylight during store hours. Crime is so bad right now in Los Angeles, when people park their cars in a store, they are leaving the trunks and the doors wide open so the thugs can see that there's nothing to steal inside, so they won't smash the windows and break in. Folks, that's what a nation looks like when it forgets God. Last Friday, December the 17th, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law totally getting rid of parental notification in Illinois. So right now, your 12-year-old daughter can get pregnant and have an abortion, not only without your okay, but without you even knowing about it. And do we have any idea how much that bill is going to be used as a get-out-of-jail-free card for every pedophile and every sex trafficker in the entire Midwest? Because now minor girls can get an abortion without anybody ever asking any questions how they got pregnant to start with. My goodness, people, what are we doing? And J.B. Pritzker also signed a bill making it mandatory for all schools to teach 5- and 6-year-old kindergarten students gender identity, which you and I know really means gender confusion, telling little kids they're not really boys and girls like they've been told that they're boys and girls. People, that's child abuse. This is evil. No wonder the state of Illinois is going to hell in a handbasket. But Christians, in order to accept our responsibility and shine the light of Jesus Christ, we've got to stand up and speak out against that kind of darkness. Like she did. Dan and Jennifer Shields were a great part of our congregation here at Fox River for many, many years, along with their 3 kids. But about 6 years ago, they finally saw the light and moved to Florida. And because Florida is a free state, they are thriving down there and absolutely loving it. But last October, their oldest son brought home a permission slip for a sex education class at school and was told that if he brought it back the next day, he'd get extra credit. So Jennifer started doing her due diligence. She called the school and said, "What are you going to be teaching my son in this class?" And they treated her like an idiot and told her it was basically an abstinence program and she couldn't see the material. Excuse me? It's the right of parents to know what their kids are being taught in school. So Mama Bear started digging. Come to find out, this abstinence program was a Trojan horse. Because even though it did discourage the kids from regular sexual intercourse, it also encouraged them to have anal intercourse and mutual masturbation and oral... Whoa. Jennifer was not about to settle for that. So she demanded a meeting with the principal. Principal set the meeting, then he canceled it. She kept demanding to see the curriculum that was going to be used. Finally, they told her they didn't even have the curriculum because a state official was going to come from 5 hours away to the school and teach the curriculum during 8 days of science class. So it wouldn't even be a regular teacher who was leading it. But don't worry, Jennifer, they said. It was basically a program that taught kids the dangers of sexting. Yeah. Right. But God helped those people because Jennifer Shields kept demanding and kept demanding to see that curriculum. Then they finally told her, well, it's not in the book form that you could take home and read. She said, that's okay. I'll come to the school and look at it. So she did. So she's sitting there and they're showing her slides from the PowerPoint presentation, one vanilla thing after the other. So she finally told them, where's all the explicit kinky material that's in this program? They said, well, that's on another module. You can't see that. Excuse me? She and her husband pay their salary. She was not leaving that school until she saw it. So she finally saw those pictures and the presentations. How kids are supposed to put part A and part B and be able to maximize all the pleasure. She told them it was absolutely evil and totally unnecessary for kids that age. And then she asked them, where's the part about the dangers of sex thing? They said, well, that was always another class that students and teachers were supposed to, students and their parents were supposed to take later on. Well, then why did they lie to her? Well, you know why. People, we all know what's going on here. And so did Mama Bear. And I'm not saying that all teachers and school officials are evil, because they're not. But the leftists are. Because they are absolutely insidious. Because they have absolutely no qualms at all about lying to you. Because they think you parents are stupid, idiot, racist, bigoted, religious freaks, and they will do everything they possibly can to go behind your back and brainwash your kids with whatever perverted, X-rated claptrap they think is right. But Jennifer wasn't having it. And so they asked her, what do you want to come out of this meeting? And she says, I want the parents to be on. I want the school to be honest with parents and tell them what's really in this program. Well, they didn't want to be honest. Because if the parents were actually told what was in the program, they wouldn't send their kids. And the less kids got into the program, the less state money the school got. That's why the son needed to bring his permission slip back as early as possible. So this school was lying to parents and selling out the purity and dignity and innocence of children for the sake of state tax dollars. Follow the money, people, and it's absolutely despicable. Well, Jennifer Shields got all over it. She emailed over 50 different parents. She called the county board. She even emailed Governor Ron DeSantis. And finally, after weeks and weeks of hemming and hawing, the school finally agreed to take all the kinky stuff out of the presentation and to redo the permit slips. Glory, hallelujah, amen. So parents, listen to me. Don't you dare be buffalo. Don't you dare be cowed into silence. You fight for your kids. And in case you think you're too busy, Jennifer Shields also has a full-time job. Her husband Dan works all the time. And they have two kids besides. So why did Jennifer Shields do it? This is what she said. I wasn't doing this just for my son. God called me to do this for everybody's kids. And that school too. So parents, listen. Even if you have to fight like hell, even if you are the only one fighting, even if everybody else is calling you a kook, you accept your responsibility. You are the light of the world, shining for Jesus Christ, and not only for yourself, but for all kinds of people around you too. Hallelujah. The second thing that we need to do in order to be the light, we need to accept the responsibility. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to be the light. We not only need to understand our identity, we not only need to accept our responsibility, but third, we need to maximize our opportunity. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Which means, Christians, don't you dare isolate yourself and build a private compound and start stockpiling brown rice and toilet paper. Because I am tempted to do exactly the same thing in the crazy times we're living in. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go into the world. Don't hide yourself away from it. So don't you dare head for the hills and hunker in a bunker like a prepper waiting for the zombie apocalypse. Because the world we are living in today has never needed the light of Jesus Christ more than it does right now. Maximize the opportunities that God has given you. Now, one place where we really need to shine the light, especially at Christmas time, is our families, among our relatives. You say, well, Kevin, you shake my family tree, a bunch of nuts fall out. I realize that. We all have relatives that are just like strands of Christmas lights. They all hang out together. Half of them don't work, and the other half aren't very bright. We all have relatives with more issues than a magazine stand. And it'd be surprising who they really are. Bing Crosby always played the good guy. Even Catholic priests in all those famous movies. And he recorded the most popular Christmas song of all time. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. So you think the guy would have been super dad and a super family guy. But instead, he spent all of his spare time betting on the ponies at the racetrack. And was so abusive, he turned all four of his kids into alcoholics. So let me ask you this morning, what's the trouble in your family? Maybe they're all ACOA, adult children of alcoholics, which means they treat everybody like they're in the fifth grade. So this Christmas, your parents aren't talking to those relatives over there. And if you talk to those relatives over there, your parents won't talk to you either. And you need a scorecard to keep track, because the names on the hit list constantly rotate. And you show up at your grandparents' house, and there's your sister-in-law wearing the Biden-Harris Build Back Better t-shirt. And the granddaughter has another boyfriend with an ankle monitor. And your niece is there with her lesbian partner. And your Uncle Carl shows up claiming now that he's a woman named Carolyn and demanding that you used to refer to him with female pronouns. And your grandpa gets your brother's kids Xbox, but he doesn't get your kids anything because he's punishing you. Because you got up in front of a church service and gave a testimony how there were drinking problems in your family. And you committed the unpardonable sin, talking about something that everybody's supposed to deny and keep a secret. And you get the same questions from the same relatives every single year. When are you ever going to get married? Why don't you get a real job? Are you still going out to that cult there, Fox River Church? And then Mommy Dearest walks up to you and whispers those words in your ear that you've always longed to hear. Have you tried Weight Watchers, dear? Your family puts the fun in dysfunctional. So how are we supposed to maximize the opportunity and shine the light of Jesus Christ with your relatives? First of all, deck the halls and not your family members. You do not blow your stack with your family members and your relatives. Just remember, relatives are just that. There are people who are simply related to you by DNA. So most of them are not people that you would ever pick to have with friends and hang out with if you had the choice. And you only see them a couple times a year. So your identity and your value does not depend on your relationship with your relatives. Your identity and your value depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39, you love the Lord more than your family. Which means all your love and all your acceptance and all your approval comes from Jesus. All the love and approval and acceptance that you need. Which means you don't really ultimately need any love and approval and acceptance from your family. And because of that, instead of your family Christmas being a proving ground where you're trying to get those people to care about you, your family Christmas can become a mission field and a ministry opportunity where you try to get those people to care about Jesus. So turn your family Christmas time with your relatives into a missionary opportunity. And how do we do that? First of all, save all the drama for your mama. You didn't start it. You can't control it, and you can't change it, so don't even get into it. Those people are just trying to bait you anyway. The fastest way to stop a tug of war is just to drop your end of the rope. Now, if truth needs to be defended, absolutely, speak up for the truth. But you don't have to go all scorched earth. Because there are people in your family, you are the only Jesus that they will ever see. You are the only Bible that they will ever read. And even though it's not right, they will judge Christianity based on how they see you act. So, Just watch the expectations, because if you bust through grandma's front door screaming John 3:16 and turn or burn through a bullhorn, there's not going to be any Christmas miracle, everybody dropping to their knees and having a come to Jesus moment. They're just going to think you're an even bigger idiot than they already do. So what do? You pick your spots. You shine a little light, you plant a few seeds, and you trust that the Holy Spirit will use it however it is He wants to. Don't sit in the corner and isolate yourself from the people. You don't talk to them and ask them questions. Try to turn a conversation into a spiritual question. When they pull up in front of the house, go out and help them get all their stuff indoors. Pray before you eat. Offer to pray before everybody eats. Get a gift for everybody, even if it's something nominal. Even the grandpa who dings you and your kids. I always do all the dishes at my family stuff, always. Sue and I always have the dog with us, and that always gives us the opportunity to ask one of the family members if they'll go help us take the dog for a walk. Gives us an opportunity to talk to them. We've done that for years and years and years. Let your light so shine before your relatives that one day, even if not this Christmas, maybe down the road, something that you say or do will be remembered by them, and it will cause them to turn to Christ and glorify God who is in heaven. Maximize the opportunity. And Christians, we not only need to maximize the opportunity when it comes to our families, we need to maximize the opportunity when it comes to this country. Because our nation today is in serious, serious trouble. Dr. Fauci and the WHO were the Grinches who tried to cancel this Christmas over a cold virus called Omicron. Oh my God, we're going to die! Everybody is going to die! They are purposely trying to destroy this country. Because there is something in the United States of America that does not exist in any other country on the face of the earth. And has never existed in any other country on the face of the earth throughout world history. And it's called freedom. And you may not care about it, but I do. And the left right now is trying to use COVID and panic and tyranny to destroy those rights and freedoms right in front of our very eyes. And Christians, if we don't maximize the opportunity and stand up and shine with the light of Jesus Christ, those freedoms are going to be gone and we will never get them back. Ever. It breaks our heart what's happening to America. And we are so tired and we are so exhausted from speaking out and fighting and going to those school board meetings and standing in front of people and trying to defend what you know is true. We are worn down. But listen to me. We are not worn out. Because we're going to continue to shine with the light of Jesus Christ until the very end. And don't tell me we can't see it coming. For 2,000 years, Christians have known that in the last days, the Antichrist will force everybody to get a mark on the right hand of their forehead, the mark of the beast, as a sign of their loyalty to his evil one world system. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. And notice the Greek in those verses say the mark of the beast will be something inside of your body, not just something on the surface of the skin. So for 2,000 years, Christians have wondered what in the world that mark of the beast could possibly be. Well, back in 2020, when the COVID vaccines started coming out, everybody was wondering, could the COVID vaccines be the mark of the beast? And the reason we were leery is because Bill Gates had patented a quantum dot vaccine that puts a chemical called luciferase, from the name Lucifer, into your body, along with microchips that could be scanned with a smartphone. And those microchips would function as your vaccine passport, would have all the records of your vaccination on. Plus, those microchips would also hold all your financial information, all your health information, your credit score, your criminal history, your driving record, your identity, absolutely everything about you. So Big Brother, using those microchips, could control every single aspect of your life, determining your ability to even live and participate in society, even your ability to buy or sell. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. But we know these vaccines don't use quantum dots. And you don't have to renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to swear allegiance to the devil when you get it. And the vaccine passport is just a card that you carry in your pocket. So these vaccines are not the mark of the beast. Or are they? Because the COVID gods keep demanding more and more vaccinations. Even though the vaccinations are obviously not stopping the spread of COVID. Even though Omicron is nothing but a cold virus. even though the hospitalization rate for COVID is less than 9% and the survivability rate of COVID is 99.79%, even without a vaccine. But in spite of that, they just keep on insisting and more and more. Countries all over Europe and Scandinavia now are demanding vaccine passports. In China right now, the vaccine passport is being functioned as a social credit score. So in China, you can't get married. You can't go on vacation. You can't buy a house or a car unless you're vaccinated. China is demonstrating to the world how you use vaccine passports to have totalitarian control over people's lives. And here in America, more and more cities are demanding vaccine passports. Chicago, New York City, San Francisco, Boston, Seattle. I could go on and on. You don't get the vaccine, you don't get to participate in society either. You see, well, Kevin, the vaccine passport, that doesn't have anything to do with the mark of the beast. Well, hold on to your hats, because now it does. 2 weeks ago, a company in Sweden called Epicenter in Stockholm announced that they were now implanting microchips the size of a grain of rice in people's hands. And get this, on those grains of rice, those size microchips, they were implanting people's COVID vaccine information inside their bodies. That company Epicenter has been chipping people for years for security and keyless entry purposes. But last October, they realized they could put people's COVID vaccination records on those microchips. And that company has now announced they're selling that technology to thousands of companies all over the world. So this is going to be all over the planet. And in case you're wondering whether or not that's popular, Swedes by the millions are lining up to get microchipped. And buku people from all over the world are now flying to Sweden so they can get microchipped too because of the blindness and for the sake of convenience. You say, but Kevin, the Biden administration's never said anything about implanting microchips in people for a COVID vaccination. Well, of course not. They'll just use the United States military and federal agencies and corporations and businesses to force people to do it. You say, but Kevin, how is that possible? How could they possibly get away with that? Folks, look at how the definition of what it means to be fully vaccinated has always changed. First of all, it was either one or two doses. Then it was two or three doses plus a booster. Now it's three or four doses plus a couple of boosters, plus you've got to have a vaccine passport. So why not take just the next logical step and get those vaccine passports implanted into people's bodies for the sake of convenience and just to keep people safe? And because in these last days, God has already sent a delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Americans would line up from here to the Golden Gate Bridge to have it done. Selling their soul to a one-world system that totally ignores God and now has the technological ability to control every single aspect of people's lives, including their ability to buy or sell, just like Revelation chapter 13, verse 17 says. Can everybody say, Mark of the Beast? And so it begins. And you know what, folks? We said this. Here at Fox River, we've been talking about this ever since the vaccines came out. But see, you go to Fox River, you're a lunatic. And Pastor Garner's just a nut. I got the emails to show it. Everything that we have been warning about for 2 years is now here. The technological ability that the Antichrist has to control every single aspect of people's lives is right here. It is already in place. Just like the Bible says. So if you were hoping 2022 was going to be a better year than 2021, Happy New Year. But here's the good news. Even though the Mark of the Beast technology is here, we Christians are never going to see the Mark of the Beast. Even though the Antichrist system is already in place, we're never going to see the Antichrist. Because we're not looking for a hole in the ground, we're looking for a hole in the sky. One day, very soon, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. People were going to be gone in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be out of here, and we are going to be home free. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for gates of pearl. I'm shining with my light. I'm watching day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. But until that time comes, till the very nanosecond that first trumpet sounds, we are the light of the world shining for Jesus Christ. We're going home, folks. How many of you are coming with me?
Amen.
There's somebody listening to this sermon right now, sitting here in this room this morning. You don't know where you're going. You have no idea what's going to happen to you and the trouble that's coming. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Before this service ends, right at the end of 2021, you need to be sure about that relationship. You come up after the service is over and pray to receive Christ. You leave this building today knowing that you have a relationship with Christ that's taken care of. There's other people here today, you are Christians, but there's darkness in your life. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from shining that light. Maybe it's a sin that needs to be confessed. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an issue that you're dealing with. Maybe it's not even you. It's somebody else in your family, something with your job. Bring it up here this morning. We'll take it before the Lord. He'll start working on it to set you free from that. End of the year is a good time to clear away all kinds of junk that we don't need to take into the future with us. Let's do that today. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the God that you are. I just thank you, Lord. We can turn on the news and we hear so many scary things. So many things that just absolutely freak us out. We can open your Bible and we are reassured again. That's true. Your word is true. We stand on it. We stake our eternity on it. And just ask, Lord, that you would give us brand new courage for the days to come. We have no idea. Your word has told us what's going to happen to the very end, but up until then, we don't know. But we do know, Lord, that you're with us. I pray for somebody here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They'd come and make that commitment and pray to receive you. I pray for all of us, Lord, dealing with all kinds of things in our lives. So many things. Seems so overwhelming. Just help us, Lord, right now just to dump all that darkness on you and trust, Lord, that you're going to shine. Not only that in our lives, but you're going to shine through us to other people. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.